The Patriots are in town on Sunday, and we're going to the AT&T hotline to talk about New England with Christopher Price. Chris is with the Boston Sports Journal, and he's with us on WGR. Chris, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing?
Not bad. How you guys doing this morning?
Hanging in there. Thank you. You know what? I got a burning question for you. I have other questions, but this one's actually burning. So the defense, Chris, what happened? They are awful in the first month of the season. They're getting shredded. They're giving up 30 points, 300 passing yards. And then these next seven games, they're completely locking teams down. What happened?
There's a couple of different things. First of all, they had some new guys in a few new situations, and those guys are playing better now than they were earlier in the season. They've become more acclimated to the system, and the communication is better, and I think the results are starting to show up on the score. But the other thing, too, is Stephon Gilmore. You guys know him. Stephon Gilmore is playing a lot better now than he was at the start of the season. He's a guy who, really, for the first month of the year, when you talk about what he brought to the field, he was fundamentally lost in a lot of ways. And I think, really, they simplified things for him to a point where he is just playing man coverage now, and he has really improved over the last month or so. So I think those are really the two things, at least for me, that are kind of starting to jump off the page a little bit when you're talking about the improvement, the overall improvement, the New England defense.
There's been some turnover. You know, we were used to guys like Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones. They were traded. Rob Ninkovich retires. Dante Hightower goes down with a season-ending injury. So at least in the front seven, we know about Gilmore and some of the guys in the secondary, but in the front seven, who are the key guys now for New England defensively, Chris?
It's really remarkable when you consider that what this team was expected to rely on, you know, Dante Hightower and, you know, a handful of other guys when you're talking specifically about that front seven. But it's been they've been doing a lot of mixing and matching. One of the guys who's really stepped forward and played, he's not a pro bowler, but Kyle Van Noy has really kind of developed a level of consistency in that front seven as the play caller. He's one of those guys, too, I mentioned before. He's kind of settling into his role. He's taken over a lot of the snaps that Dante Hightower was taking. They've gotten really good performances out of a couple of young guys, and Trey Flowers, who really came on toward the end of the year last year and has continued to play well this year. Dietrich Wise, a fourth-round pick out of Arkansas, has done a good job getting after the passer, creating pressure in certain situations. So they're getting it from a lot of different people. I think the Hightower injury was difficult for them to overcome, but like on the offensive side of the ball where it was a collective, a group of guys raised their game when Julian Edelman went down, We're seeing a lot of that on the defensive side of the ball as well.
Yeah, I want to get to offense, and I was going to ask you about Edelman, but since you brought up Gilmore, let me ask you about the other former Bills. Chris Hogan has been injured. What are the chances he plays Sunday?
I thought he'd be back by now. He suffered what I understand to be a fairly serious shoulder injury, and he was questionable, or not questionable, he was limited yesterday in Wednesday's workout. So it's going to be interesting to see where he is. I think he is going to be able to give it a go, but that shoulder, like I said, I think the injury is a lot more severe than we were first let on. My personal feeling is he's going to be back before the Pittsburgh game, so that would still probably put him a couple weeks out. I do think he's going to give it a go. It's going to be interesting to see what he is, where he is Thursday and Friday, though.
And Mike Gillislee has not played in the last three games. He's been a healthy scratch. How come?
Yeah, he's the odd man out on that group of running backs. We've seen Deion Lewis show an ability to run between the tackles really well over the last two, three, four games. This is a guy who, I'm talking about Lewis specifically, he's come all the way back from that 2015 knee injury. He's taking the bulk of the reps that would usually go to Mike Gillislee in those situations. So Rex Burkhead has stepped up very nicely as well. And so we're seeing those guys. And James White, Super Bowl hero James White, has done a very good job this year as well, kind of stepping into that role more as a receiver, though. But Gillislee right now, he's, like I said, he's the odd man out in that backfield.
So you mentioned Edelman. With Edelman, and I know they bring in Brandon Cooks, which maybe I was going to ask you about him if you don't tie it into this answer. Edelman goes down. And he's a big loss, but we look at it, of course, as it's Tom Brady. You know, Gronkowski's been out. Guys go down, and they still win because it's Brady. So was Edelman not that big a deal offensively this year?
No, he remains huge. And there are areas where they are still missing him, particularly in the screen game, both as a blocker and a receiver. And I know that's only kind of part of the equation, but when you look at what he's been able to do over the course of his career, the chemistry that he's been able to develop with Brady, he is huge to what they want to get done offensively. That being said, they've been able to, again, get a collective of guys. Bill has always said, you know, it's not going to, you know, you can't just replace Julian Edelman with one guy. It's Amendola, who's taken really the primary amount of reps at that slot position. They really haven't overworked him because I think they're worried about him getting hurt sooner rather than later. But Amendola has taken a lot of reps at the slot position. James White has stepped up as a receiver. Deion Lewis has stepped up as a receiver. And you mentioned Cooks. Cooks has done well filling that production void as well. So it's been a number of guys. But, yeah, I don't want to sleep on the idea that Julian Edelman really isn't that important to the Patriots, you know, offensive scheme. He's very, very important to what they want to do. They've just found some other guys who've been able to kind of fill in around him this year.
What has Cooks meant? What's his impact on this offense been?
He's been an intermediate to deep threat. In a lot of ways, especially over the last 3 to 4 games, he's filled the role that we saw Hogan fill really well last year, in that he's been the guy who's been able to stretch the field. But it's just absolutely terrific speed. And I know that the production isn't probably where he wants it to be, but when the Patriots are able to get Dorsett and Cooks on the field together at the same time, it's a really difficult matchup that ultimately opens up things underneath. If they don't go over the top to one of those two guys, they open things up underneath for guys like James White, for guys like Danny Amendola, for, you know, for Gronkowski as well. So Cooks has delivered a really interesting dynamic to this offense that's allowed them to take a few more deep shots than they have in years past.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was the offensive line. A couple guys were out last week. They're a little bit banged up. What's the status on those guys for this game? Because reading the reports from the Miami game, it sounded like Brady took a ton of hits in that game.
He did, and he was going up. Obviously, they were going up against one of the better front sevens in the league. But you're going to see David Andrews back this week at center. He's a guy who missed the last 2 weeks because of an undisclosed illness. The big question for me is what they're going to do at right tackle. Marcus Cannon has been out the last couple weeks because of an ankle injury. The backup right tackle, who actually played relatively well in his absence, played Adrian Waddle, he went down in the late stages of the Miami game. The third right tackle that they have, Cam Fleming, is not very good, quite frankly. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going with Cam Fleming that they park Dwayne Allen next to him for 80% of the snaps. So really, when you're talking about the offensive line going into this one for New England, really, for me, right tackle is the biggest question mark. If they're able to get, even if Waddle can come back at, you know, 80% to 90%, you feel relatively good. If you get Cannon back and he's still a question mark, at least right now, you feel a lot better about where you are as opposed to where you were a week ago.
Chris, next time you're at practice and you see Tom Brady, I want you to offer him a deal, okay? I'm willing to make
gotcha.
This deal, okay? He wins the Super Bowl this year, but then he announces his retirement. What are the chances? Give me a percentage chance. He wins and he retires.
Zero.
Ah, come on.
Zero.
10, 20?
Zero. I know 0%. It kind of freaks people out. I'll say 2% that he retires.
But that's better than zero.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't see it happening, man. This is a guy who's going to continue to play and play and play and play and play until they literally rip the uniform off him. I'm going to be interested to see, and he's scheduled to talk later this week. I'm going to be fascinated to see what he has to say about Eli Manning, because those plus 35 quarterbacks, and you heard it from Phillip Rivers yesterday, those guys are a very tight group. They're a very close bunch. And if it happens to one of them, I think Brady understands, look, it can happen to any one of us, so it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out, but I don't think he's going to retire after the end of the season.
I thought about that, too, not necessarily from the standpoint of an in-season change, but could you see the Patriots get to a point, and there's, by the way, there's no indication there's any slippage in his play, but could you see them get to a point where they would say, hey, Tom, thanks, it's been great, where he doesn't want to retire, but they say, it's time for us to move on?
Yes, I see that happening, and it's funny. Tom Brady's dad has said that, look, Tom understands that it's not going to end well, or maybe end the way he thinks it's ultimately going to end. The only guy, or the only two guys now who get the, you know, the fairy tale send off, it's Elway and Peyton Manning, right? And I don't know if Brady's going to be able to do the same thing. The other thing too, we talk about this up here in New England all the time, is that no quarterback 40 or older has ever gotten a team to a Super Bowl, let alone won a team a Super Bowl. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's really in uncharted waters in a lot of ways right now in Brady. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to retire after this year. And I think that, you know, maybe we see a guy in Brady and his career ultimately somewhere else. Look, Montana finished as a Chief.
Sure. Peyton Manning went to Denver.
Exactly. It's happened to just about everyone. So, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Okay, so when Brady retires, Chris, does Belichick keep coaching, or does he coach until Brady's done?
I think he wants to keep coaching. I honestly do. And I'm not saying that he's going to pull a Marv Levy and coach till he's, 80 or something. But what he really likes is the teaching aspect of the game. And I think it would appeal to him, the idea of trying to rebuild it, not rebuild it all over again, but get to a point where the Patriots can be competitive enough where they can contend as a playoff team moving forward once Brady's gone. I've long maintained that he wants to follow the same path as his buddy Shanahan did. And when Elway left, Shanahan was able to keep it going for an extended period of time in Denver. They weren't quite Super Bowl teams, but they were competitive. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick ultimately ended up following the same path.
Okay. Hey, Chris, thanks. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.